to make some housekeeping announcements before we get started. We're halfway home with the electricity this morning, and we can do one or two things: have no lights and air, or air and no lights. So right now we've got lights, so that means, you know what, we don't have air. But you know, the Lord has blessed us with a cool morning, so unless there's not any major objections, we'll move forward. So James is working to make everything come together. He said that the PowerPoint could go out at any minute, which is okay. So I only have this lesson and my next lesson on PowerPoint, so no problem. You know, even without electricity, we still have a lot to be thankful for. We have to keep that in mind. So before we get started, if you would join me in prayer, please. Merciful and wise God, our Holy Father, we're thankful for the day, the many blessings that you give to us each day. Father, your new mercies that you grant us, we're thankful, Father, for your mercy, for your grace, your love. We're thankful, Father, that we have a Savior in your Son, that through his blood we have redemption, we have forgiveness of sin. Well, Holy God, we're thankful for so many things, our spiritual blessings as well as our physical blessings. We're thankful for your word, that we can look to it for guidance, that we can study it, meditate on it, and make application in our lives each day. Help us to thirst for that righteousness, Father, and place our feet in the right path. Be with us in this study this morning. Help us to make application as is needed. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, now I'm going to need some help this morning, because I'm under the impression we did not answer the questions on chapter 15, unless I hear an objection. Okay, no objections. So what we'll do is to quickly go through chapter 15 with not much review at all, answer the questions, and then begin chapter 16 and hope to get to those questions. I have just a few here. It will have questions, Judges 15 and 16, on one page. Chapter 15 and 16. Anyone? Where is it? Oh, okay. There's only a couple there. Anyone else? Raise your hand. Okay, so chapter 15 basically is the judgeship continued of Samson, probably one of the most notable judges that we can think of. And again, he is given opportunity to display his strength, his physical strength. And so the men of Judea want to go down and deliver him now to the Philistines, and so they bound him up and do that, make their way down there with him. And as you know, he doesn't stay bound very long, and then other acts of physical strength are shown. With the jawbone of a donkey, he kills several men. And this leaves an impression on, of course, the Philistines. So we end the chapter with him becoming very thirsty, and he cries out to the Lord, You've given this great deliverance by the hand of your servant, and now shall I die of thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised? And of course, again, the Lord is there to help Samson. And so God split the hollow place that is in Lehi, and water came out, and he drank. And his spirit returned, and he revived. And therefore he called its name En-Hakkor, which is in Lehi to this day, spring of the caller. And he judged Israel 20 years in the days of the Philistines. That's a relatively quick review, but are there any questions or comments concerning that chapter? Okay. Wayne's not here, so I don't know where we got to, just to be honest with you. Who?
Charlene had.
Oh, okay. And so we were leaving your section and going down front here. Okay, so if someone here on this third pew is ready, anybody? Well, okay. Brady says they're all ready. All right, number one, Brady. All right, so she'd been given away. Number two.
What did he do in retaliation? He piled 300 foxes and tied themselves together with torches and turned them loose and they burned up the field.
Okay. Burned up the fields of grain and made more enemies in doing so. All right, what then happened, or number three? Jonathan?
What then happened to Samson's former wife and her family? The Philistines took her and her father and burned.
Okay. And number four?
And what action did Samson take? He said that I swear I will be avenged after that I will pay.
Okay. And so he was avenged and attacked them with a great slaughter, I believe, in verse 8. And then number 5.
When the Philistine army came after Samson, what request and what promise did the men of Judah make? The men of Judah said, "Why did you come up against us?" And they said, "We'll come up behind Samson and do him as he did to us, and we bring down the men of Judah went down, and said, 'Do you not know that the Philistines were looking for us?'
Okay. So bound him up and with a promise they would not kill him. All right, number 6.
What weapon did Samson use to kill 1,000 men, fresh jawbone coming up?
Okay. Number 7.
How did Samson find water? He called out to the Lord and the Lord split the hollow place and water came out.
Okay. All right. Any questions or comments concerning those questions? Okay, we'll begin in chapter 16, probably one of the more read Judges chapter that there is, because we like to read about, I suppose, physical strength, and it's somewhat enchanting to the human spirit, but this... obviously, this chapter is more about his moral weakness than it is his physical strength and how he fails and how he ends his life. So, I begin in verse 1 there. Then Samson went to Gaza and saw a harlot there and went into her. When the Gazites were told, "Samson has come here," they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the gate of the city. They were quiet all night, saying, "In the morning, when it is daylight, we will kill him And Samson lay low till midnight. Then he arose at midnight, took hold of the doors of the gate of the city and the two gateposts, pulled them up, bar and all, put them on his shoulders and carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. Now afterward happened that he loved a woman in the valley of Sort, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, "Entice him and find out where his great strength lies and by what means we may overpower him, that we might bind him to afflict him, and every one of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver." So Delilah said to Samson, "Please tell me where your great strength lies and with what may be bound to afflict you." And Samson said to her, "If you bind me with 7 fresh bowstrings, not yet dried, then I shall become weak and be like any other man." And so, by his own admission, Samson here is rather extraordinary. I suppose if I turn this the right way. All right, so in this chapter again, we find occasion for Samson to demonstrate his physical strength, but unfortunately he also chooses to, I guess, demonstrate, for lack of a better word, his moral weakness. And he has opportunity to do this. Because of lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life, whatever the case may be, we find Samson in this condition, in this shape. Samson has little, if any, fear of the Philistines, and I make that statement by the fact that it just seemed like he didn't mind going into their territory, and he just didn't mind. It didn't bother him as much as it bothered them, or seemed to bother them, since they were now laying in wait for him, since they were now kind of hiding from Samson to try to take him down. And so I think Samson was a pretty good threat to him. And so Samson had little fear of the Philistines. In verse 3, Samson demonstrates an incredible act of strength. You know, grabs this gate. We don't know how large it was, but it had 2 gate posts. Pulled them up, bar and all, and then put them on the shoulders and carried them quite a distance. I don't know if you've watched the strong men competitions, but I have watched them before, and they do these kinds of things. And it's kind of incredible to watch them do that. But still, I don't think they could. I don't think they could match Samson's strength, mainly because he had the power of God on his side. But Samson is able to do these acts of strength, and I guess this just fuels him more internally, as far as his moral weakness. No matter how strong he became physically, he was morally just totally inefficient, and seemed not to have any strength there. Verse 4, we are informed of a visit to a harlot, of course, and again, you know, the pride of life or the lust of the eyes will get you into these situations that you don't need to be in. The encounter turns into a love relationship for Samson. It's kind of one-sided. It's not a romantic relationship. So if you're looking for a romantic relationship, there's not one between Samson and Delilah, because the entire relationship is all about deceit, with no trust really from either side. What we need to remember, and it's difficult to remember, is that, you know, God has a plan. And God wants to accomplish something. And so it's God's plan that this all take place, no matter how much it hurts our stomach or heart or mind to read of these activities. It's still God's plan. And what he intends to do is to deliver them from the Philistines. Questions or comments?
Yes, sir.
physically.
Physically. And no man before him was able to do what he's able to do. But, and you do the reading in there, and nobody is giving credit to God. You know, nobody's able to, make them bend a leaf and understand that this is not physical strength either, except for the fact that God is giving him his ability. And through the whole narrative here, God's not giving any of their credit.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like you're dealing with a lesser intelligence or
they should understand.
Yeah. But obviously we have the advantage, and we have the history book right before us and we can read it. And so often I find myself saying, yeah, I wouldn't get in that situation. I wouldn't be there. I would give God the credit. I would, then we have to step back and say, oh, I'm human just like Samson was. Brother Greg?
Along those same lines, in the prior chapter 15, in verse 18, even Samson, who the power is coming through, he does acknowledge it, but if he had just stopped about halfway through that acknowledgement, it would have been just fine. Where he says that when he became thirsty, he cries out to the Lord, you have given me this great deliverance by the hand of your servant.
Mm-hmm.
But even with Samson's momentary acknowledgement of where the power came from, it doesn't show up in his behavior.
Yes, absolutely. And he gives him credit, but it's just not frequent enough. It's not often enough. Brother Bill?
The people themselves seem to have a defeatist attitude of their face. And when they go to Samson and say, don't you know that we're servants of the Philistines? So they're not looking to God himself.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it's a long process before they're freed from the servitude of the Philistines. But it seems that he's getting them out of his defeatist attitude,
mm-hmm.
perhaps.
Mm-hmm. There's confusion all over the place, obviously. But one analogy I made last week, I don't think I said it, vocaled it, but verbalized it. But anyway, is that, they went there with 3,000 men, I think it was. It seemed like they feared Samson a little bit, but more than fearing Samson, they feared the Philistines. It's like, you know what you're doing to us? you not understand that they lord over us? And then maybe in last place, hopefully, in third place, they feared God, but there's no evidence really of that. So, they weren't fearing the right things. They were fearing Samson. They were fearing the Philistines. But there was not enough fear for God, in my opinion. Okay, so the leaders of the Philistines enlisted Delilah with persuasion of money. And this is a large sum of money. It's much more than, obviously, Jesus was given to betray our Savior. And so this is a sizable amount of money. I tried to find, 1,100 pieces of silver given by each one of them is the way I read it. So this wouldn't stop at 1,100 pieces of silver. There's some writers that indicate there might have been 5 liters. Obviously, 5,500 pieces of silver, that might be interesting to have today, the price that silver is today. But at any rate, again, I go back to my previous statement, and that is, if you're looking for a romantic relationship, you're just not going to see one here. So there's a lot of deception, a lot of deceiving that's going on behind the scenes and really out in the open as well. And that's what this relationship is built on. And the only one that seems to be persuaded by love is Samson. So, and then in verse 9, now there were men lying in wait, staying with her in the room. And she said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." But he broke the bowstrings as a strand of yarn breaks when it touches fire. So the secret of his strength was not known. And then Delilah said to Samson, "Look, you have mocked me and told me lies. Now please tell me what you may be bound with." So he said to her, "If they bind me securely with new ropes that have never been used, then I shall become weak and be like any other man." And so a lot of accusations going on here that Samson's lied to her. Surely she's not lying to Samson. But again, just quite a few exchanges of deceit that goes on here. There might be some discussion. There might be some discussion about the cords and versus the ropes. And the only thing I can find on that is that in the New King James, there in verse 8, it says seven fresh bowstrings not yet dried. So obviously that would make them new. But in the New American Standard, it says the lords of the Philistines brought up to her seven fresh cords that had not been dried, and she bound him with them. So the only way I know how to explain this, and somebody may have something more, but it does use the word rope in the next scenario in verse 11 that had never been used. So I'm going to suggest that the strings or bowstrings or cords that were mentioned in verse 8 are maybe a little smaller. And then the rope might be a larger.
The leather is the first
one. Leather?
Leather is the first
one. Okay. So these would be leather cords.
Leather cords that would bind him before they were dried.
Okay. So, well, let me ask you this then. Would they actually use those as bowstrings?
Yeah.
Okay, for their bows.
Bowstrings.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, I find that interesting that that they would have bowstrings and have bows that they would probably shoot arrows with. I'm just wondering, could they not get far enough away from Samson to shoot him with an arrow? You know, to maybe take him down. It's all about, you know, binding him and you know, keeping him bound to some degree. All right, so then in verse 7, the first of the four ways to make Samson an ordinary man, as he suggests, with ordinary strength, and the Philistines lie in wait. Remember, they're sneaking around, and Delilah accuses Samson of lying, and the new ropes are supplied. And so, Daryl, let me ask you then, so the new ropes, would that be more of what we can may consider grass ropes or that sort of thing? Okay, and then in verses 13 and 14, the Delilah said to Samson, "Until now you have mocked me and told me lies. Tell me what you may be bound with." And he said to her, "If you weave the seven locks of my head into the web of the loom." So she wove it tightly with the batten of the loom and said to him, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." But he awoke from his sleep and pulled out the batten and the web from the loom. I'm almost thinking that the New American Standard uses a pin. "If you weave the seven locks of my hair with the web and fasten it with a pin, then I shall become weak and be like any other man." And so what I gather from this is that there were some type of material that was used, and she wove then the seven locks, as it mentions. And you know, this still doesn't do it. So the Philistines come in upon him again. He pulls the pin from the head, or the hair, or whatever expression you want to use. He let his hair down and undid whatever Delilah had done, and his strength was as it had been in previous times. Okay, so then in 15 through 20, Delilah becomes more and more insistent that Samson reveal the secret. Then she said to him, "How can you say, 'I love you,' when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me these three times and have not told me where your great strength lies." And it came to pass, when she pestered him daily with her words and pressed him so that his soul was vexed to death, that he told her all his heart and said to her, "No razor has ever come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaven, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man." When Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up once more, for he has told me all his heart." So the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hand. Then she lulled him to sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off the seven locks of his head. Then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. And she said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." So he woke from his sleep and said, "I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. So a very sad commentary, obviously, in that Samson falls asleep on the knees of this woman he thinks he loves, and his vow to God is broken when his hair is shaved. So the secret is finally revealed. And Delilah arouses Samson as she had done three previous times, but this time the outcome obviously is different. Then the saddest phrase one could ever hear, I think, is that the Lord had departed from him. And prior to this, you know, we kind of get the idea in this fourth stage that things are different, and Delilah realizes it's different, and she realizes enough that she compels the lords to bring the money to her, but she uses the phrase that he has given her his heart. And so it is much different. So the lords of the Philistines waste no time in taking advantage of Samson. They quickly gouge out his eyes. They bind him with chains this time. They're taking no chances. I think brazen chains is the way one renders it. And they throw him into prison, give him the job that I suppose may have been given to animals. One author said that it was given to a woman, this job of grinding meal. And so he assumes this position as their slave, basically. So then in verse 21, the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in the prison. However, the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaven. Now the Lord of the Philistines gathered together to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon their god and to rejoice. And they said, "Our God has delivered into our hands Samson, our enemy." And when the people saw him, they praised their god. But they said, "Our God has delivered into our hands our enemy, the destroyer of our land, and the one who multiplied our dead." And so, when we talked about credit before, here the Philistines are giving Samson credit as the destroyer of the land. And little did they know, actually, God was the one that should have been credited for that. And so Samson, again, is their slave. They mock him. They humiliate him. They do any number of things that they can just to make his life as miserable as possible. So Samson ends up with a sentence of a life of total submission to the Philistines, the people that he was to deliver the Israelites from. And instead, he could have lived a life of subjection to the Lord. I think if we don't learn any lesson besides that is that if we take care of things ahead of time, then we won't find ourselves in the situation as Samson found himself in, a slave to sin. Physically, he served as a slave, but it was because of his moral unrighteousness that he served this way or lived this way, was required to live this way. All right, questions or comments thus far? Brother Greg? Very destructive, was it not?
Yeah, and how blind he was in giving his, I guess you could say, power to her. At first it seems like he truly is marking blindly in these false descriptions of how to lose his power. But then because of being irritated or vexed, as King James talks about in the pestering, to get rid of the problem, he gives her what she wants.
Yeah, I think it's ironic that the first thing they do is gouge out his eyes, because he had been blind long before that, and you know, with Delilah, obviously, he was sometimes we say blinded by the light. There must have been some type of light there that was just blinding him, so that he could not see. Maybe he didn't want to see, but again, we have to remember, you know, this is God's work and not ours. So I think sometimes what I would do, and you know, in some degree, kind of irrelevant, you know, really doesn't matter what I would do. It's what am I going to do with this information? How am I going to use it in my life to make myself better? We could analyze and we could interject over and over again the mistakes that Samson made, but it's still a part of God's plan. And again, The Philistines evidently had become very prideful about this thing, or to the extent they want him so that they can make a mockery out of him, so they can humiliate him. Because if you think about it, the man is obviously a heavy sleeper. And so why don't they just go in and you know, put a spear through him? I mean, just be done with it. But they, no. You know, we're not going to do that. We're going to bound this guy up, this guy that thinks he can kill everybody in the country, and we're going to show him. We're going to show him. Pride of life. Pride of life. And so we can get caught up in it the same. Very good points. And all right, so then in verse 25, so it happened when their hearts were merry that they said, call for Samson that he may perform for us. So they called for Samson from the prison, and he performed for them. And they stationed him between the pillars. Then Samson said to the lad who held him by the hand, let me fill the pillars which support the temple so that I can lean on them. Now the temple was full of men and women, and all the lords of Philistines were there. In fact, there were about 3,000 men and women on the roof who watched while Samson performed. So they loved to humiliate Samson. The arrogance and pride of the Philistines advance in verse 23. And then the Philistines in verse 24 give credit to the only God that they know, Dagon. And so the temple, it says, was full of men and women. And all the lords of Philistines were there. In fact, there were about 3,000 men and women on the roof who watched while Samson performs. The point I wanted to make there is that we don't know how many were actually in the temple, or maybe under the roof of the temple. But there were evidently a sizable number, as we'll read on, that more were killed that day than were killed in Samson's lifetime. And so it happened, their hearts were merry. They were happy. They were joyful. Samson prays to the only God he knows. And for that, we can be thankful. And Samson called out to the Lord, saying, O Lord God, remember me, I pray. Strengthen me, I pray, just this once, O God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars which supported the temple, and he braced himself against them, one on his right and the other on his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he pushed with all his might, and the temple fell on the lords and all the people who were in it. So the dead that he killed at his death were more than what than he had killed in his life. And his brothers and all his father's household came down and took him and brought him up and buried him with between Zorah and Eshtaol in the tomb of his father Manoah. And he judged Israel for 20 years. So the temple was demolished by the single blow for which he had prayed. And the story concludes with them taking evidently the body of Samson and bringing it back probably close to his home and buried him there in his father's tomb. You know, there's many ways we could look at this. We could say, well, you know, this is suicide. That's not right. You know, we could say this is just a travesty that should never happen. All these people being killed, Samson, the great warrior he was, the physical specimen that he was, should not have had to die this way. But it was God's plan. It was God's plan, and so it happened that way. Brother Greg.
This is where Samson seems to finally understand, even if it is just briefly, do it for his own purposes of vengeance, and understand the only person he needs approval and acceptance from, that he needs support from, is the Lord, not these women, not anyone else.
Right. Yes, and I'm thankful that Samson called upon the Lord in the final stages of his life. And so, you know, someone else had a comment. and as recorded in Hebrews, you know, he was found to be among the faithful. All right, any questions or comments on that's 31 verses, but again, that's probably one of the most read chapters in the book of Judges. So questions or comments as we finalize that chapter? Sister Cheryl. That's a good point. So I guess in all the scurrying about what Cheryl is saying is, you know, she didn't tell him in the fourth time or tell them in the fourth time that would take his strength away from him. But what she did tell him is that he had told her his heart and what was on his heart. So I thought a very good point. One thing I never could find either is that in the latter part of the verse 19, it said, "Then she began to torment him, and his strength left him." And all I can say to that is that the shaving was part of the torment, but the Bible doesn't go beyond that he was tormented, or she began to torment him, is what the New King James Version says. The New American Standard says that she made him sleep on her knees and called for a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his hair. Then she began to afflict him, and his strength left him. So can't go much beyond that. But anyway, good observations. Anyone else? Brother Steve? And to some degree, that's, you can see that with the Israelites. Yes.
Try to evaluate how could this be a positive? Well, it's not positive for sins, but it does come to God's purpose.
Well, I think you're correct in that, you know, Samson, like no other, was able to stand by himself. He didn't need a group of men following with him, as did Abimelech and Jephthah and some of the others, Gideon even. Good comments, good observations. Any more questions or comments? We will try to answer the questions then. Chapter 16, Judges 16 is on the page we've just done for 15. So we'll begin. I didn't write down. Brother Richard had the last one. Nathan. Okay. The sin of harlotry. And number two. Okay. So they thought they would lay in wait and be there when maybe he came out, got up, or whatever the case may be, and be nothing to it. But they found different. Verse 3. I mean, number 3, excuse me.
How did he get away from verse 3? He lay from midnight, and he arose at midnight, and shut the door of the gate of the city, the gatepost, and pulled him up, far and all. Took him on his shoulders and carried him on top of the place of
the people. Okay. Which would have been a real slap in their face, you know, take your front door off your house and run it over across the road to a hill somewhere. Number 4. And we're back over here. What you on?
What woman are we introduced to in verse 4?
Okay. Number 5.
What bargain did the lords of the Philistines make with her? And that was that if she would find out what his strength was, that they would each give her a piece of silver.
Okay. Number 6. Good. Number 7. Sister Evan.
How was his strength unbroken? He finally told Delilah he was a Nephilim to work him. To cut his hair would take his strength away.
Okay. And number 8. Okay. And number 9.
What way did Samson slay more in his death than he did in his life? His life's victory was in that he sacrificed himself to kill those Philistines. Killing those Philistines, what I have read in the scripture is that he killed those who were of the elite.
I think you're right. He did. And I often wonder if Delilah was in the place there, in the building there. Okay, that closes it out. So.